next on Speak Up.
Here with you guys and very openly that my father had committed suicide and how that impacted my life.
Right.
And of my commitment that I will be talking about it because I never thought it would
happen. It all starts right now.
81% of parents don't think
dating
violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that up.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
The World Health Organization reports that every year, almost 1 million people die by suicide. That's one death every 40 seconds. Now, each suicide intimately affects at least 6 other people. What to do when someone you love is considering ending their life? We will be speaking up about when suicide hits home. This is a serious issue, very hard to talk about. And as the suicide rates go up, almost everybody is affected. Does any of you know someone or has experienced that, I think?
Yeah, I have shared here with you guys and very openly that my father had committed suicide and how that impacted my life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And of my commitment that I will be talking about it because right. I never thought it would happen to me, and there you go, it happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the statistics say at least 6 people. Yeah. In my case, I mean, there were, yeah. You know, like yeah, 20 people were affected by it. And it lingers. The effects of it lingers. You learn how to cope with it. You learn how to deal with it. But it's with you all the time. Mm. Right. And you pass it on to your children in terms of awareness. So up until the day I die, it will be an issue.
Right. How did your siblings cope with it versus how you coped with it?
They had different reactions. One of them wanted to talk about it. The other one didn't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned to you that one of my babies looked just like my dad.
Right.
Uh-huh. And my sister didn't want to look at the baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Did that affect her relationship with your child?
Not at all. Not at all. As the baby grew up.
Something unconscious, okay. Probably, you know, mm-hmm. just because of the resemblance.
Right.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So
it's hard. I mean, different people cope it with different, I think, ways. And but you're right. It carries you through every experience you go through until later.
We had a friend.
Yeah.
Everything was fine. But then we went to his funeral, like, when we were freshmen in college. And at the time, I didn't know what we were there for. Like, I didn't know how he died because no one said anything. Mm-hmm. So then about 6 years later, I was just reminiscing with a friend and brought it up. They said, this is what really happened.
So nobody knew he had actually ended his life.
I don't think,
until later.
I think people knew,
but, didn't
but they didn't broadcast it. So I didn't know. So a bunch of us did not know what took place.
That's not a question you ask.
Yeah, you don't go to the funeral and say, hey, man, what happened? Like, you don't want to say that. So
yeah. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable about bringing it up. Because I guess at first they don't know, like, how...
What to say.
Like, how would I comfort the family? I mean, especially for those... I have not experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
How would I comfort Jasara if she's been through it? Maybe I'll just hug her, listen to her. What would I do?
Yeah, like, maybe that's all that I need. So why are we so uncomfortable?
And we feel this pressure, right, to treat people a little bit differently
different.
When we know suicide.
Right.
And I think as somebody who went through that, Jasara, wouldn't you say, I just want to be comforted the same way I would have if he died from natural
causes.
Absolutely, yeah. Having somebody there present that embraces you and during that painful time.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah.
Now, some families, and I read this, go through all kinds of mixed emotions. And one of very common result of that is sometimes feeling guilty.
Mm.
How
like you didn't
come
do enough?
I didn't realize that this was coming? How come I didn't see the symptoms, the signs? Did that happen with any of your experiences?
Well, yeah. When looking back, because my father committed suicide, I was a young mother of 3 babies, and then I went to school for nursing school. And then, of course, as I went through my psych rotation, I said it was there all along.
Oh, okay.
My mom, who is a psych nurse, at the time they were already divorced, but my mom, who is a psych nurse, partners said, oh, yeah, he mentioned a few times throughout our marriage that he wanted to end it all. And I said, and you didn't pick up on that?
Right,
you
right, know? Right.
So it was, I went through phases of being angry, of feeling guilty, too, because how didn't I see that?
And but isn't it hard sometimes when people say comments like that?
Yeah.
It's like you never think that that's what they really mean.
True.
Oh, they just had a rough day. Oh, they're just having a bad situation. You know, it's like we never think that, oh, they really meant it that way.
And especially for those people who will, you probably see them as like the perky ones, you know, and then they start telling, well, I guess, no, go back. For those people who are not the perky ones, I would say those people that are just like me, like quiet, and I would say, I feel like committing suicide. Would you believe me? I mean, I'm really not the
one.
You
know what I've always been told?
And now we know we have to believe it and really try
we have to
find
pay attention.
Out more.
Right.
But
attention.
I've always been told that people who are really going to commit suicide, that they don't really say it. And the people that...
I guess it depends.
That's what I've been told. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what this statistic tells us about
I guess that
this.
Was just kind of like friends talking among friends, that if you're really going to do something, you're not going to say it. You know, because we never believe that people will really... do it.
This is
know?
Very anecdotal because
I
don't have anything to back it up in terms of studies.
Sure.
But being a clinician, I have seen people who were repeated offenders.
Absolutely.
They tried to commit suicide. They came back. We would pump their stomach out or whatever, and then they didn't. They will try again. Maybe sometimes three times.
Wow.
And until one
day they really did it and got it.
Right.
Sometimes people saying, "Oh, they're saying this because they want to call attention to the, you know, their And it could be
it's
that
hard.
They're just so desperate that that is a way sometimes to say, "Okay, listen, I'm going through this painful experience, and it's a way." But I think the sense of what you were just saying that sometimes people don't say it and they just do it, if they are serious enough, they're going through so much pain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is sometimes the only way they find to, you know, find relief for that pain. But interestingly enough, many families sometimes will keep wondering, what else could we have done?
Yeah. Right.
But many times that is not really, it wasn't up to them.
Right.
It was a decision that that person made.
I was going to ask Jasara, like, what did your mom felt after your dad committed suicide, knowing that he was actually had the like symptoms, like he was telling that I was going to commit suicide. Did she feel like any guilt at all that she didn't pay
much
attention?
Yeah, she never really verbalized that. And once again, what we know now, we didn't know as much back then. You know, the psych science has been crawling you know.
Yeah, certainly we know more now. Good news is that today we have Drs. Claudio Consuegra and Pamela Consuegra. Dr. Consuegra, Claudio, he is the police force counselor and chaplain, and both of them lead the Ministry to the Families here in North America. Welcome to our show. This is a very difficult topic to talk about, and I know that both of you have actually have the experience when suicide hit home.
Unfortunately, we not only have the personal, professional experience as a police chaplain and as a pastor, but in my case, my brother committed suicide as well. In fact, not too long ago. And so we've had to live it not only from the professional side, but also from the personal side.
And unfortunately, this is something we share because my younger brother also committed suicide.
Oh, we are, it's amazing. I think more and more people see this, where suicide hits home. And we really want to learn and hear from you, what was it like for you? We will be back in a few minutes. We don't want you to go away. We have lots of questions for Dr. Pamela and Dr. Claudio Consuegra, and we want to hear all about their experience with this. Stay with us. Welcome back. We are speaking up today about suicide and when suicide hits home. And we were just talking about before the break that this has affected you personally. I have read that among the most populations that have very high risk for committing suicide is law enforcement, military personnel, among others. Is that the case?
Well, you know, law enforcement people are not the most popular people because when you have a problem, you call the cops, and they end up arresting somebody. So they're not the most likable
people. Mm-hmm.
You call, your house is burning down, and you call the firefighters, and they save the cat and all those things. And they're so they love firefighters. But when it comes to cops, they're the ones that get the tickets. They're the ones that arrest you. And so they internalize a lot of that negativity. And not only that, but they have easy access to their weapon.
Well, see, that's one of the things. If they have a gun, accessible, loaded, they're more likely to succeed.
And both of our brothers were in law enforcement.
They were in law enforcement.
And you're right. They've had very easy access to their weapons.
As family members, though, we were talking about the experience of a family that goes through this. Was it a surprise for you? Did they have depression? Because I know sometimes, oftentimes, it is linked to a diagnosis of depression. Yeah. Was that the case for them, maybe?
Well, in my case, anyways, my brother was somewhat distant anyway, so I wasn't following up with him, whether he was depressed or not. Only looking back did we know that. Mm-hmm. And was it a surprise? Well, of course, if someone has a terminal illness, you know you're reaching that point. But I happened to be teaching a class in Florida, and I got a call from a cousin that says, your brother died, and he took his life. So it was a definite surprise. No, in fact, it was later that I learned that he had attempted suicide about 6 weeks before with a plastic bag. But again, because we were distant, I was never told that. Had I been told, then I could have done something, because I know those kinds of things. But you don't know, you can't do anything.
That's right. Yeah. Control.
And, you know, for my brother, there were struggles in his life. He was on his second marriage. The second marriage was not going well. And also, as a young man, he had been sexually abused for quite a few years. And so we knew that. We knew there were struggles, but, you know, we talked about those. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't have any indication. I just talked with him on the phone. Yeah. I didn't have any indication that it was to that point.
Yeah. So he did have maybe depression as a result of the trauma in his life, and he was on medication perhaps.
And I think I heard one of you ladies say earlier, some people give the indications. They start giving things away. Mm-hmm. Right. They say things like, I can't take it anymore. Right.
I wish I would die, and all those things.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sure that so many people would say, I wish I would die, but rather, I wish it would end.
Yeah,
I am tired. I can't put up with this anymore. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any of that. And some people will not give you any of that. And that's probably the hardest for the family, because if they had only said something.
That you could have picked up, maybe.
Yes.
And that's one of the hardest things. He's absolutely right. I still remember getting that call. I remember where I was when the phone rang, the voice of my other brother on the phone. And I just remember being in total shock. I couldn't even answer. I couldn't respond, because at that point you think of all the why didn't I why didn't I
why
call
him, and
why wasn't I there, why wasn't I closer, why didn't I call him or go visit him this morning even, all of the regrets. But also, for us it was because they were in police enforcement, it was just a complete denial that no, that can't be true.
Yeah, can't be true.
Someone that he arrested maybe was angry
and killed him.
Certainly, it wasn't self-inflicted.
Yeah. And when we talk about using their own weapon, it may be an interesting fact. Most women don't use guns.
That's true. In fact, I read that there's some differences among men and women in terms of suicide.
Yes.
That men tend to actually spend, like use a gun or a means, and they're more successful. Women tend to do more suicide ideation, and sometimes their means are not as effective. Is that what you see
Well,
also?
And again, they don't want to damage their physique.
Yeah.
Although many will jump off a building
on that moment,
but it's easier to take pills or cut yourself because then it's not as visible. Whereas men, we don't care. We just want to end it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This morning I was just reviewing some of the latest statistics say that the number one way for women to commit suicide is actually through poisoning. They will self-ingest some type of poisoning rather than the use of the gun or a weapon, a knife or something.
Now, as a family going through this painful experience, what was helpful to you in terms of how others responded? Can you share a little bit? Because what we want, and there could be somebody watching us right now, that maybe they do have a family member who is depressed and might have given some clues, or maybe they have not given any clues, but they want to know. Or it could have been somebody watching who has gone through what you went through. So what kinds of things could loved ones do that would be helpful for the family who has somebody who has attempted suicide or who has been successful in killing themselves?
We'll look at someone who has been successful. The attempted one is different because then you can still intervene.
Yeah, you can still intervene.
But let's just take the image of the person who's taken their lives. And so now you're the survivor, you're the family. And you have to do a lot of self-reflection. Mm-hmm. You have to recognize and realize or come to the, accept the fact that it was not you who caused that.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yes. Even though you may feel guilty, it's not your fault. Right.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
It takes a while to get to that point. Mm. A while to get to the point to where I could say, he made this decision.
Yeah.
You know, that's a process.
And just out of you need to be patient. Some of that. Do you relate to what she's saying?
I do. Yet, I still go back thinking that if I only had my degree before.
Sure. You could have done it.
I could have seen the science and act on it, being very pragmatic as I am. I would definitely look him in the face. Are you planning to take care of
your
own life?
You would have asked the director.
Yes, I really feel, and being a clinician now, I have been taking steps like that, because when we do the admission in
for patients
now it's required through quality indicators of ask, you know, do you have any suicidal ideations?
Do you plan on harming yourself?
And many nurses feel uncomfortable, and then I tell them my story. Look, this might be the only opportunity that this person is having. If you ask them, you know, do you feel like harming yourself, and you letting this opportunity pass?
Go.
Now you're making me feel really guilty. Now I'm going to ask everybody if they want to commit to that. You know,
right.
As a clinician, you
there
have
again, to. Yeah. I think she really hit on a very important topic that I really want to express today. We don't talk about it enough. You know, we just pretend. And I remember a classic example is when my brother's death came out in the newspaper, because he was a police officer, so there was a large contingent of officers there, the police escorts, the sirens and all. But I remember that day when an article came out, his obituary came out in the newspaper, and my mother, you know, my dear mother said, they didn't say what happened, did they? They didn't.
So she was afraid. That would bring shame, probably.
She just wanted it to say he died of a gunshot wound.
How long ago was that?
You know, that was 12 years ago. But she didn't want it to say
that he
self-inflicted. But I think we need to talk about it, and we need to look this in the face.
In the face.
And deal with it and admit it and not be afraid to say,
speak up.
Are you thinking about this?
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate that both of you and also Jussara, you know, people that have gone through this that are willing, have the courage to talk about it and to advocate that others do so. Thank you so much. For more information, we will invite you to visit our website, hopetv.org/speakup, where you can find more resources, download our speak up notes on this topic of suicide of a loved one, and there you'll be able to share with others, with friends and family. Also, send us your comments and your questions. If you have a story to share, we would love to hear from you. When we come back from the break, the Word of God will speak up with a word of hope on this topic. Welcome back. We are speaking up about suicide. So we have heard that suicide in the family is much more common. I mean, we had 3 people today sharing. You also shared. You know, long ago, there was someone that I knew, not very close. It wasn't a family member, but an advocate for women and people that
I know
you know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
shocked
to learn on Facebook. He left a note. And his wife was actually answering. He said, goodbye. It's time I don't even remember what it was he said, but to the point he said, you know, I have to go. Goodbye. Wow. And so he's like, where are you going? She answered through the Facebook. On the Facebook. And then he just said to her, goodbye. Mercy. And so I think he was in the same room or in the same house. And she found
again,
him.
And again, we know that he had suffered.
He had suffered
abuse as a child. Trauma. And even what's incredible is even as an advocate, as an adult male, he was speaking out against it. But he obviously had his own
struggle. Yeah. So what have we learned? I mean, what are the good things that we can do that could be effective to help families, that could be helpful for them as they heal through this pain and respond? I remember his wife, she was devastated, shocked. And so many people came around her to provide the support.
I think awareness is huge. Mm-hmm. I think for what I do, because I'm aware and I'm researching all the time and I'm reading about it, then when I meet with teen girls, just last weekend I met with a group of girls and there was one in particular. There were just visible signs there that something wasn't right.
Not right.
And so I reached out to her and I said, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but could we just chat?
Talk?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There were a lot of things going on there. And I think we just have to be aware and not afraid to ask. And it doesn't have to be, are you okay? Are you thinking about it? But sometimes it's starting a conversation. Are you okay?
Right. Yeah, just I feel you down. A little different. And you also, Novella, deal with teens and as a youth pastor.
I've never had one of my teens commit suicide. Uh-huh. But I have seen signs in them that if their current problem or their current pain was not addressed, that maybe they would
gone
get
that
to that
route.
Direction.
Right.
Yeah. So I always try to deal with people one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Hey, how's the school thing going? Hey, how's it going at home? I know this situation has been like this. How is it now?
Yeah.
I always leave an open door in
for
my
conversation,
life,
for trust,
people to come to in, come. You know. So I think leaving an open door for people and letting them know the door is open and how to get to the door is very helpful.
So you're like in, sorry. So you're like intentional and very, like you have to be right there. You have to be present because I could be like, hey, how are you? And be like, okay, goodbye. You have to be like, how are you? Like we can sit down.
And give it time.
Yes, give time. Yes.
I would like to highlight the genetic component. Mm-hmm. If you do have a family member who has committed suicide, I think you should consider that at some point in your life, you might have the same, be in the same position.
In fact, the research actually points to that fact.
It supports
many times
that, right.
Survivors, children that survive a suicide of a parent.
And I would think a history of depression
as well. Yeah, it would be also the same connection.
Right. But even with all the risk factors that we already have, if you have suicide in the family that you genetically linked to, get off of your high horse. My life is great. I don't. At some point in your life, something might trigger it. So you don't have to be depressed your whole life. It could be a circumstance that will trigger that. And, you know, be aware of the signs.
The good news is, as always, as people of faith, we can rely on words of wisdom and hope in Scripture and Novella. What is there, a text or something from the Word of God that can speak to this issue?
Absolutely. I believe that the Bible speaks about all subjects and is able to help us through all things. So if Llewellyn, can you read our Scripture for us, please?
Sure. Our Scripture is found in Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen. No death, no powers.
That's right. It's crazy because sometimes we think that we're not loved. And so that's the reason why some people take their life. No one loves me. No one understands.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. What am I going to do? And because nobody loves me, because nobody cares, I'm done. But the Bible says, no, that is not the case. Right. The Bible says cannot be separated from the love of God. So would I even say that through suicide, you know, the loved ones that we've had who have departed this life through suicide are still not separated from the love of God. that could be some hope for those of us who are left.
That's very right, because that's another thing that happens many times. Oh, they're not going to make it. They're not going to be in heaven. And we don't know
the
that.
The love of God
only
goes
God
beyond
knows
our
that.
Human thoughts.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the next verse that I'm going to read, it has been a directive for me. Mm-hmm. I feel that it was really written for Jacera Gama, mm-hmm. Because that's what the only thing I mm-hmm. had to rely on mm-hmm. when my father committed suicide. Mm-hmm. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Yes.
I took that, God was really speaking to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been relying on ever since.
Amen. It's so wonderful to see these words that can bring hope, that can help us be strong, whether we have had that in our families or whether we mm-hmm. know someone who has been hurting for this, we can share those words with them. The Word of God always brings hope. In the midst of pain of losing a loved one to suicide, we can always turn to God. If you are feeling deeply sad and considering ending your life, please know that there is hope. In North America, call the National Suicide Hotline, 1-800-273-8255, or talk to a trained crisis counselor by texting DS to 741-741. It is free, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and confidential. If you are watching us today and you need prayer, we are ready to pray with you. Give us a call at 1-888-446-7388. Remember to visit our website at hopetv.org/speakup and download our Speak Up notes on suicide and join our conversation on Facebook. We will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and happiness.